Welcome to St Andrew's. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service. A special warm welcome to anybody who's new and to anybody watching online. I know we have some visitors today, which is great, and I know quite a few of our regulars are away themselves. So it's great to be together in the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm Barry Austin, if anybody doesn't know me, and Helen Wilkinson will be coming along in a while to bring us her word, so that word of God, which would be brilliant. I've got to do some notices. I've been given orders by Dave. So, Josh, can you stick up the... Thank you. Right, you should all, if you haven't, please grab one of these. It gives details of all the services coming up this week. There's services on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday. There's a Walk of Witness. There's even a 6 a.m. Top of the Beacon service on Easter Sunday for those people who are brave enough to get up Top of the Beacon by 6 a.m., getting up by 6 p.m. is a challenge for me, I think. And next Sunday, Easter service, we have an Easter egg rollout for you. Well, in fact, for everybody, Easter eggs next Sunday rolling in the car park. So that's great. Thanks, Josh. I'll roll up. Okay. Yep, this is an important month for St Andrew's, where we're looking at a new staffing structure. Dave put out a big request last week for giving. So there's a kingdom giving letter. If you haven't got one, please pick them up. They should be at the back. Ooh, jumped one. Thank you. Start. There's a start course, which is like a pre-alpha for anybody interested in the Christian faith. And again, please contact Dave if you're interested. It's a great course. We've done it before, and it's really, really good. And finally, the real deal. We've got a magician. Are we allowed to say magician? Yeah, of course we are. We've got a magician coming on April 27th, and he's a Christian, and it's going to be a great evening, so please put that in your diaries. And finally, if anybody's here for the first time and they want to connect up, get all the information online, please go to the St Andrew's All Saints website and sign up. That'd be great. Thank you. Now we've done that. Right, Palm Sunday. What do we celebrate today? Do we celebrate? Yes. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, what did he ride on? A donkey. Well done. You did that last week in Early Birds, didn't you? And we think this morning about the week to come. We think of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the fact that he came as our Messiah. He brought salvation to the whole earth. And for all those who believe in Jesus, that week was the most important week in human history. Think on that. So let us pray. Jesus, we have come to meet you today. We welcome your presence with us. We don't quite know what to expect. We think we know what we need and how you can meet those needs. But we come before you this morning humbly, laying our coats and our lives before you. Reveal to us who you are, Jesus, how you can be a saviour in our lives, a saviour in the entire world today. Help us to remember all the things that you did leading up to your death and glorious resurrection. Come, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Amen. So we come this morning, we look at the picture on the screen, and we can see there both a cross and a palm leaf. We know what the cross signifies. But what does the palm leaf signify, do you think? What does the palm leaf mean? Yes. When the people threw the palm leaves on the path. Well done. And we've all got on our seats, or we should have, a palm leaf, a palm cross. And this reminds us not only of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, but also it reminds us of the worldwide church. Because, in fact, these palms are made in Tanzania, and they've come all the way by boat to us. We're going to see now in Mark's gospel what that first journey into Jerusalem might have looked like. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means Lord, save us. And we celebrate all over the world this morning. There'll be Christians all over the world. And I wrote to Ben and Katie, in fact, I spoke to them this week. They're our mission partners in Tanzania. Some of you have been out there and seen them, I know. And I said to them, show us what you do at Namer Crafts. Well, here they are in the craft room, celebrating Palm Sunday. That set them off in the woodworking shop. I love that. And finally, they went to the cathedral and found some young people there who, again, told us how they celebrate in Tanzania. Right. Now, that shows what they can do there. Now, can we do something similar, do you think? Are we up for a little bit of celebration and Hosanna? Because I went online this week and I bought some palm leaves. Now, online, they look quite big. Okay? And so anyhow, I thought, that's not very good, but they're here. So I went up in the roof and I found some other ones. All these, look, real palm leaves. I thought, that's good. And then I went into another room and look what I found there. Some of these. And then I went into the special place and found the bishop's palm leaf. So I thought what would be really good and what we need is some volunteers, not just young people, but young people, parents, carers, non-parents, anybody. We've got about 30 of these things, and I thought it'd be great if we sang a song of celebration, which is called Hosanna. And if we're up for it, we're going to parade down the church with our waving our palms and waving and banging our instruments. We're going to go into the foyer where there's somebody to stop any children getting out, and we'll come back in and praise Jesus that way. Are we up for it? We are. So, can I have any volunteers to come and grab an instrument, grab a huge palm leaf, or even bigger one? Right. Come on, adults, you can do it as well. Let's have a whiz. Right. Okay, St. Andrews, let's show them how it's done.
Yeah. So this morning we're going to continue a bit of a sort of theme of worldwide salvation, because the proclamation of salvation in the Hebrew scriptures was always collective. In Isaiah chapter 49, God promises to raise the tribes of Jacob and restore all the survivors of the Israel in order that his salvation may reach the very ends of the earth. The very ends of the earth. And this is the first outpouring of the idea that God's message was for the world, every society, all humanity. Jesus died for the sin of the world, not the sins of us individually, although of course he did that as well. The sin of the world. And so we're aware that while salvation is collective, so is evil. Reminders in these last few weeks, haven't we, of evil in our world. And I thought this morning, before we have our reading and before Helen comes to share the word, we'd have a time of sort of prayer and slightly extended prayer and worship. I'll explain in a moment, but I thought we would just start with the bedrock, as it were, of prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. So let's share the Lord's Prayer together first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So I'm going to share some images with us, pray over them, whilst we use the words of a song which praises Jesus the King and seeks to lift him higher. So let us pray now to Jesus into this hurting world of ours at the moment. Damaged, broken, and brave country of Ukraine to you, Lord Jesus. War-torn and ravaged. And we can see on the screen pictures of Palm Sunday celebrations before the invasion. And we pray that someday soon they will be able to look forward with hope and trust. We pray for all the peace efforts, for the sanctions to impact and bear down and accelerate the end to the war. And we pray especially, Father, for the innocent people who have been killed in airstrikes, in these missile attacks, the awful attack on the station this week, attacks against residential areas, hospitals and schools. Father, it breaks our hearts, but how much more must it break yours? We lift them to you, begging for your Spirit to intervene in a major way. So bring peace, Father. Bring justice. Bring love. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we lift you higher. For you are the hope of this world. pray now for those in Russia who exert influence. We pray for President Putin and for Patriarch Kirill, who leads the Russian Orthodox Church and who has endorsed and given his blessing to the invasion. We pray that the spirit of truth would impact on them both. Father, we pray for the worldwide split that is occurring in the Orthodox Church and the rebellion that is taking place within it. May your truth, the only truth, prevail in their lives and in the lives of ordinary people in Russia, who themselves today are celebrating your entry into Jerusalem as we do. And we pray for leaders in other countries as they try to position themselves in this threatening and tragic situation. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we lift you higher, for you are the hope for this world. City of Jerusalem. We remember, O Jesus, how you wept as you saw Jerusalem, saying, "Would that you, even you, have known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." So today, as we remember your victorious entrance, we pray for the city of Jerusalem, that it may become a place of harmony. A place of harmony, a place of peace and unity between the Israelis and Palestinians, between Christians and Muslims, between the Orthodox and the Roman churches. Show your united and unifying glory again, Father, we pray. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we lift you higher, for you are the hope for this world. Sunday celebrations from the four corners of the earth. Our pictures here from India, Mozambique, Colombia, and the Philippines. And we're reminded, Lord, of your sovereign power. But we think also of the inequalities that exist, where we in the West use more resources in 6 days than the average person in Mozambique, now facing famine, uses in a year. Help us, Heavenly Father, help our leaders and those of influence to understand our responsibilities for justice in this world. And we think also at this time of other areas where there's strife, where there are refugees. We think of Afghanistan, Syria, Myanmar, and Somalia, to name just a few. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we lift you higher, for you are the hope for this world. Finally, Lord, we've considered the world and some of its needs, and now we think of our lives here in Malvern or wherever we live. You've blessed us, Father God, blessed us with peace, security, and resources above and beyond the reach of so many. And so we, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, pray that we might recognize that we are blessed, and that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. Help us understand our responsibilities, and ask that those of us who are able to bless might bring to those in need harmony, healing, love, and resources. And we pause just for a moment in silence as we lift those known to us in need of prayer. And we finish by praying that we may show through our lifestyles and from our lips how you have been lifted up in our lives, and how you are the hope for our world.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Lord, I pray that these would not be hollow words. May we mean what we sing and lift your name. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.
We had the first part of our reading at the beginning of the service on the video, and now James is going to bring us Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 25, and then Helen will come and give us the word.
Jesus curses a fig tree and clears the temple courts. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in the leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
Pray God's blessing on you, Helen, as you bring us the word that you've had. And may we have ears to hear and hearts to absorb the message this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I hope that you've still got that passage open from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, on page 1016, because you're going to need it. Blessed to be a blessing. It's a phrase that you'll hear a lot around St. Andrew's and All Saints. And it's a good way of summarising our church strapline, partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. To walk with God, to partner with him, is to live in receipt of his blessings. And if we are to do our part in partnering with him, then we live in receipt of his blessings. And we see communities flourish as we pass on that blessing to others. So where does it come from, this blessed to be a blessing? Is it just a handy, neat phrase that's no more than an advertising jingle? Well, in fact, blessed to be a blessing is one of the Bible's main themes. And in today's reading from Mark 11, we see it operating really clearly as the story of the fig tree and the cleansing of the temple courts unfolds. But first, let's look at a bit of context. In our journey through Mark's Gospel, we're just about to enter the final week of Jesus' life. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem to the applause of the crowd. In a few days' time, he'll have gone to the cross. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king, but what sort of a kingdom is he ruling? Now we find a clue in the shouts of the crowd as he enters, which you'll find on page 1016, verses 9 to 10 of chapter 11. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Jesus comes, you see, in the name of the Lord. And that automatically means that he is blessed by God and God's favour rests upon him. It's a blessing that was given to King David when the Jews saw themselves as a great nation. And that's why they can shout, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." But as we're about to find out, Jesus wants his kingdom to be one in which everyone, not just those of Jewish heritage, will enjoy the Lord's blessing. Ever since the Garden of Eden, the promise of blessing has always been part of God's plan for the human race, the whole of the human race. He blesses his creation so that all can flourish. The children of Israel, remember, were given eventually the promised land that they might prosper. To quote the prophet Malachi, "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." In the promised land, God's people were told to pray specifically for blessing. There was a special prayer for that. Do you remember? "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace." Excuse me. And before that, at the very start of Israelite history, when God called Abraham, this blessing was what God promised him. "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." Notice here that God's desire was to bless not only his original chosen people, but to bless every nation. All peoples on earth will be blessed, he promises. Such is the significance of this pledge. It is reiterated in the New Testament. So in his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." Paul is telling us that those with faith in Jesus will be blessed, regardless of ethnicity or religious heritage. So when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, he comes not just to confront the powers of evil for his own people. It is to open up blessing for them, certainly, but it's also to open up the blessing of God for all people, for every nation. Jesus is not there in Jerusalem just to win the Jewish nation a worldly victory over the Romans or any other particular people group. Jesus comes to Jerusalem to achieve a victory that will bring a blessing that will be for all people everywhere in every era. Let's look again at what it says in Mark chapter 11, because it's here that we see this promise of blessing clearly portrayed as a promise for all. Having entered the city, Jesus goes up to the temple in verse 11, and he surveys the scene before retiring for the night to the house of his friends in neighbouring Bethany. The next day, it says in verse 12, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus is on a bit of a daily commute here into Jerusalem from his friends in Bethany. So as they were leaving Bethany, it says Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree a leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, it found it had nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Now look at verses 20 to 21, which is the day as following day. And as they travel into Jerusalem again, they again pass the fig tree. Verse 20, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered what Jesus had said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. What we have here in the fig tree is what is called an enacted parable. Jesus is using the fig tree to illustrate what happens when people reject his blessing. So let's have a look a bit more deeply as to what he's teaching them at this point. In Scripture, the fig tree and the vine are all about blessing and flourishing. When they prosper, they're symbols of the blessing of a generous God. So, for instance, when God's people entered the promised land, it was described as a good and spacious land, flowing with milk and honey, and with an inheritance of fields and vineyards. The promise of blessing in Isaiah 65 is that they will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. But the prophet Jeremiah also gives a warning. A rich harvest may be designed to show God's blessing and to bring glory to him. But when the people turn away from God, the crops will fail, the leaves wither, and a people who reject the Lord will find that they forfeit his blessing. When that happens, God says, I will take away their harvest. There will be no grapes on the vine. There will be no figs on the tree, and their leaves will wither. There will be neither any blessing for themselves nor any blessing to give away. The harvest is barren. God, you see, has planted in love, and he nurtures in blessing. God's heart of love is so wide and deep that he comes looking for us so he can bless us. You've only to read the book of Hosea to know that God's love is a passionate love that goes very deep. When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the early fruit on the fig tree. There was so much potential. But then Hosea tells us how they rejected God's love. God is understandably hurt. He has loved much and now he has been betrayed. We need to grasp how deeply God loves us, you know. He only brings judgment after many years of countless rejections of his love. And so the book of Jeremiah describes how the Hebrew people's rejection of God's love and all the blessings that he's given them will result in their going into exile in Babylon. You see, when we don't respond to the blessings of God with a glad and thankful heart, there are consequences. So, back to the fig tree in Mark 11. It's a reminder of all those Old Testament blessings about flourishing fruit. And it's a stark warning as to what happens if we reject God's way. Jesus spots this particular tree, and there's no fruit on it. As a fig tree, it represents all of this Jewish tradition of blessing, and yet this tree has no fruit. So what does Jesus do? he curses the fig tree. Instead of blessing it, he does the opposite. He says to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again. It's too late." He doesn't even give it the chance to wait for another season when fruit might come. No, he calls time on it. When they come back the following day, the tree has withered. Even its roots are dead. Never will it bear fruit again. All this is a parable to describe what is going on in the temple the day that this fig tree is cursed. Because it is there in the temple, at the heart of the Jewish establishment, that Jesus confronts an old system that is not bearing fruit. It is there that he calls time on those who've been going through the motions of religious observance while all the while ignoring his grace and blessing. These were the original heirs of the promise given to Abraham. Yet amongst the religious leadership, Jesus had found no sign of their receiving blessing, never mind offering it. God had loved them so much that he sent them his son. He'd been right there in front of them, yet they reject him. And so Jesus is saying, now is the time for a showdown. And so he provokes them into handing him over to be crucified. Look at how it unfolds in verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Jesus clears out the old guard, quoting Isaiah and Jeremiah. Like the prophets of old, he'd look for justice, for righteousness, and a place for prayer and worship to the living God, but he found nothing but a spiritual desert. The temple was supposed to be the place of the presence of God, a place of blessing. But this temple was a hollow shell where God had been neglected, the poor taken advantage of, and the Gentiles excluded. Only barren tradition and ritual remained. There was no fruit here. And as there would be no more fruit on that fig tree, so Jesus had called time on a failing religious system that had missed the promise of blessing. Jesus would instead bring in a new kingdom, bringing fresh blessing, new wine for new wineskins. In the last part of our passage, we get hints of what this new kingdom of blessing has to offer. This is God's offer of blessing here, so we might be blessed to be a blessing. It's open to all, a house of prayer for all nations, as Jesus said in verse 17, and it's a kingdom that is based on faith and expectation. Focused on the God of forgiveness who can make all things new and bring transformation. And so as we begin Holy Week, let's choose to be part of this new kingdom. Let's choose to follow the way of blessing that Jesus offers us as he journeys to his death and resurrection. Blessing begins at the cross. And so I'd like each of us this morning to pick up our palm cross that we have from our seats. And this year, I'm going to ask you to use this palm cross to remind you of two things. First of all, as to how this cross is a symbol of God's blessing towards me, and to give thanks for that. And secondly, for it to remind me to pray for someone who I'd like to see blessed. It might be an old friend, a family member, a neighbour, or someone that you know socially. Let's be blessed to be a blessing, to be a people who know we are blessed, and to bring blessing to wherever God is calling us to bear fruit for him. You know, it's just the small things that matter. I generally find that preaching is a risky occupation. When I prepare a message, I find that God, whatever message he wants me to bring to people, I find he challenges me on that particular message in my thinking and preparation. So this week, with a message of blessed to be a blessing, I thought, what's going to happen this week? Well, last week I'd been on holiday and I'd had a really, really good break and just thought what a blessing it is to have a break, to get away, to get out, to see fresh horizons and to come back refreshed. And then on Monday, I was speaking to a friend on the phone and she was saying, how's your holiday gone? And I said, oh, it was really good. How about your holiday going on Wednesday? And she said, I can't go now. My hosts have got COVID, so I'm not going to be able to go. So I said, why don't you come here? And she did. And it's been such a blessed time to have her in my home this weekend. Because we're all blessed to be a blessing. So shall we just take a few moments to reflect with our palm cross about the blessing of God and who God is calling you or I to bless in the coming times. Our final song, which we're about to sing now, is a prayer of blessing for those around us today, because we're all blessed to be a blessing.
We seek your kingdom.
And we go with a final blessing as, again, we hold our crosses. Father, as we go back home to our places of work or rest, may these palm crosses remind us of your triumphant entry into Jerusalem, your suffering on our behalf, and your glorious resurrection. May your Spirit bring us new life this morning and in this coming week. Amen.